Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
In Australia's top end tonight, the nation is marking a very significant anniversary. 70 years ago today, World War II dramatically, terrifyingly came to Australia's shores. Darwin came under fierce bombardment from Japanese aircraft with wave after wave of attacks that left more than 240 people dead. More bombs were dropped on Darwin than fell on Pearl Harbor 2 months earlier. For many years, the details of what happened to Darwin were kept from the public for fear of what it might do to morale. But today, 70 years on, there's been a major commemoration in the Northern Territory capital. Sky News National Affairs correspondent Selena Edmonds has been covering it. As it turns out, her grandfather was in the city working for the Air Force at the time, and she joins us now from Darwin. Selena, welcome to Open House.
Thank you, Lee.
Thanks very much for joining us. Selena, take us through the various events that have been held throughout the day there.
We've been in Darwin for the last 3 days, Lee, and there's been significant events every day. Today, of course, it was the official ceremony marking that moment when the bombs began to fall, when the war came to our shores. So we saw a reenactment and a ceremony led by the Governor-General of Australia and also with the Prime Minister and the opposition leader in attendance. But most importantly, so many veterans, about 100 veterans from that time in attendance, along with their family and friends and supporters. Also, of course, people came to Darwin who'd been evacuees, who'd been taken out of the city ahead of the bombing raids, and also civilians who'd been here on that day and had had to hide as they wondered whether it would ever end.
Selena, to those not familiar with this very important episode in Australia's wartime history, give us a sketch of just what happened then, 70 years ago today, and for that matter in the ensuing weeks, probably months.
I think one of the interesting stories, Lee, about today and that bombing raid was that whilst Australia was prepared for bombing raids, of course, unsurprisingly, there was no warning. But even more significantly, I think, there was a report of planes passing overhead over the Tiwi Islands. And they thought they were the Americans returning in their Kitty Hawks from a mission. But it wasn't. It was the Japanese. It was 188 Japanese planes. So the air raid didn't sound. And the first bombs started to fall, and then the air raid siren went. And I think that's one of the significant aspects of this, because of that total surprise. I spoke to a wonderful woman, Frieda Williams, from Melville Island, who had been evacuated almost unbelievably, now we talk about it, from Melville Island to Darwin. She's a Tiwi Islander, and she was at the convent, 6 years old, and she had to hide in the convent. She'd been playing hide and seek. She saw the bombs starting to come from the plane. She said to one of the other little girls, "Look at the eggs falling from the plane."
Wow.
And the priest got them inside. Said, "Hide under the beds, girls," and they had to pray for their lives.
Yeah.
Just incredible. And stories like hers, plenty of veterans have told their stories. They're all very unique. I think that's it. As a journalist, it's almost overwhelming, all these stories, because how do you choose one, Lee?
Yes, I know. So it must have been, for many of those people, such an emotional and powerful day for them today.
Definitely. I think so many of them are so pleased to get back with others, even if they didn't know them on that day, just to share stories. There's a tremendous sense of relief, I think, from these veterans, from the evacuees, talking about how they had to rush off holding their mother's skirt, pushing the pram of one of their siblings, and they didn't know whether they'd ever see their father again. Veterans who really wondered just when the bombs were going to stop, and because they felt so ill-prepared at that time and they wanted to protect Australia.
I made mention of the secrecy about it in the ensuing years. For many years, it was an episode in which, for that matter, the Australian military and the Australian government hardly covered themselves in glory.
That's right. And an inquiry was held, but it was several years after the incident before the actual inquiry findings were released. at the time, the death toll was played down enormously. Mm. I think the number ended up in the 20s that they said had been killed, when, of course, the reality, as we know, is 243. And because of that secrecy, there has always been the speculation that, in fact, the death toll was much higher.
Yes.
Historians seem to have discounted that now. And I haven't found that story to be prominent whilst here. But certainly, at the time, the death toll was played down, and we now acknowledge that 243 people died and somewhere between 300 and 400 were wounded. But I think that secrecy added to the mystique, if you like, of what happened here. And also many veterans returned home and didn't feel like they could talk about it, let alone the horror that they'd been through, but they did feel that it all had to be kept a secret.
Yeah. So all the more important for this anniversary today. Selina, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Lee.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to